In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The first thing that I would like to speak to you about is the psalm of today. It says, "Seek the Lord diligently, and you shall live, for the Lord hears the poor." I wish to tell you that poor does not mean somebody who is financially challenged. It means someone who is humble of heart. I have met so many people, even on the street in a previous life, who were so proud. They were on literally skid row. There was a person that spoke in university to us. I took many classes in psychology, and one of the things in aberrant psychology, we had a person who had been homeless for so many years. And one of the things that they do that you may not be aware of, this is for men only, they walk around with their shirt off. Now, why would they do that? You see, when everybody has to sleep and they want to show what they have, they want to show what jeopardy may entail for somebody who is going to steal from them. And so they walk around showing all of their physical prowess. Now, people who don't, they keep clothed. But the people who are puffed up, and they say, "Don't mess with me, don't mess with my goods, you know where I keep them." And believe me, these people all have addresses. They don't have numbers with their address, but someone is the guy that lives around by the store. Another guy is a guy that lives in a doorway. Another guy lives under an underpass of a freeway. Another guy lives in, their addresses are varied, but they all know where they come from, just as you know where each other lives. And these are some of the most proud people you will ever meet, and they don't have a thing that they haven't been given or stolen. They have no work. Most of them, if they get any money at all, the money is sent straight to a liquor store. Because liquor stores are clever about this. They make it available to get mail at a liquor store. And so your check will come there, and you can run a tab when you're homeless. And when the check comes in, the liquor store guy gets it, and of course, you know, Thunderbird wine isn't cheap. That's a joke, but you guys don't get it because you don't drink Thunderbird. It's one of those things called fortified wine. So it gives you much more bang for your buck. My father was an alcoholic, and it was not beyond him to drink cough medicine because of the alcohol content in, you know, early kinds of cough medicine. So I know a lot about this, but I'm trying to emphasize the one thing on you from this psalm. Poor, some people come into the church, especially Egyptians, I see them, and they make themselves look as crummy as they can look, all bent down and crummy and wrinkled, and you know, and I'm poor. You know, I'm the brother of the Lord. No, you're not. You're just a crumpled, broken down old hulk of a human being, and you made yourself that way because of your choices. You made choices, and you now have a body that reflects those choices that you made. But a person who is being talked about in the psalm is somebody who throughout his life, he may be crumpled. He may, you know, look like a crepuscular, you know, old hulk. But it's the interior. It's always the interior. And somebody else may be walking bolt upright and very straight, but he is willing to give at a moment's notice. He is willing to help as soon as somebody offers petition. And he is the kind of person who will be happy and generous when he sees an opportunity for his generosity to improve the life of somebody. That's what poor means. Don't think because you don't have money that you're the brother of the Lord. You're just poor. You just made bad choices. So let's move on. Now, we are in the time of the apostolic fast. So the Lord is giving catechetical lectures to his disciples that he's going to send forth. Now, how does he send them forth? Remember, he says, don't take any money. Don't take anything that somebody can take away from you. You know, this is such a common piece of advice that you will find this in the book by Swami Prabhavananda, somebody that I read. And he says, do not possess anything that has the ability to possess you. Think about it for a minute. What possesses you? If somebody comes in and tries to steal your flat screen, right? You're going to put up a fight. Oh, don't think that's flat screen. Right? But if you didn't have a flat screen and they came in looking for one, yeah, look all you want, I don't have one. If somebody's coming in and looking for wealth in your home, don't go through my jewelry box. No, not that, not that. If you don't have a jewelry box because you don't have jewelry. And what is jewelry after all? The Lord says it's an unnecessary adornment of women. You know, you're supposed to adorn yourself, and not even with the glory of your hair. You're supposed to keep your head covered. That's why St. Mary's hair is covered. That's why all Jewish women to this, Orthodox Jewish women, wear a wig. They do not show their hair. Their hair is only for their husband. It's a very clear injunction here. Don't possess anything that you are going to fight over. Okay, then he says, love your enemies. What are the enemies? Those are the ones that oppose you. Now we know Jesus Christ, or forget the Lord for a moment. Saint Paul, you know, one of the apostles, wrote 14 epistles. Saint Paul is so aggressive and so strident when it comes to people who are opposing him. And think about the man who wanted to buy the Holy Spirit, or the sorcerer who was contending. You know, St. Paul said, you will be blind. He wasn't, oh, let me give you a hug. You will be blind. So there is a time and a place for all of these things. But if you're going as an emissary, as an ambassador to anyone who has not yet been made aware of the good news of Christ, of the Evangelion, then what do? You accept everything, every blame, every criticism. You are happy for every insult that is going to come your way. Why? Why? Because it's an imitation of the Lord who suffered all these things. He says, pray for those who spitefully use you. Bless those who curse you. Bless those who curse you. How do you feel when somebody curses you? How do you feel when you're on the freeway and somebody flips you off? How do you personally feel? Do you feel like an emissary of God? I think not. I think not. I surely do not. You see, because now we live in an age where everyone who wishes to hear has heard of the gospel of Christ. Everyone has it available. The internet is everywhere. If they want to figure out, you know, I was telling my son the other day about Gandhi. I said he was a Jain. What? He's a Jain? Yeah, that's spelled J-A-I-N, by the way. Yeah, he believes in Mahavira. Maha is the word that means highest, and Vira means man. You know, Maharaja. Raj is means ruler. Maharaja, greatest ruler. Mahavira, greatest man. Well, he was the 23rd Tutankhara. And I'm not just parading my erudition and my knowledge of different religions, but I've heard about the Jains. I know about Ahimsa. I know about Salakana. I know about all of these things that pertain to this kind of offshoot, or you might call it ultra-Orthodox sect of Hinduism, right? If it can be properly called that way without violence to its essential philosophy. But the point that I'm trying to make is if I've heard about this, so many miles away, never having met one before, never met Gandhi, have I? Well, the answer is no, I haven't. I've seen pictures of him, and I saw Ben Kingsley portray him, but that's as close as I've got. You think people around the world haven't heard of Jesus Christ? So when people approach you now and they insult you and they curse you, The best that you can do in imitation of Christ is to keep your mouth quiet and try to still your spirit so that you do not wish to say something in return, to show that, you know, you are not going to allow your dignity to be besmirched. But you see, it depends on what you are framing your dignity with. How do you define your personal dignity? Is it invested deeply into Jesus Christ? Then they can't hurt you. But have you ever had anybody, you know, you park your car someplace, you have a nice car, you just bought it, and somebody opens up their car door and makes a ding in your door? You know, how do you feel about that? Does it make you feel good? Or you see your back bumper has been overridden because somebody was trying to, you know, do parking by Braille. And, you know, the idea is that these are my things. I've spent my time. I've spent my energy. I've spent my life getting these things. These things are an extension from me. I will fight to the death for these things. You know, well, then your central definition has to include more than just your faith in Jesus Christ. It has to include a whole lot more. Today is a day where we celebrate the 4th of July. That is one of the founding days of our country. And, you know, the framers of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and things like that are all extremely admirable and highly educated men. Well, they put into play some things that we are still fighting over now. We have the framers and what they have said, and now we're finding out, well, what does it really mean? So when somebody curses at me, well, what does that really mean? What am I really supposed to do? And people who spitefully use me, what am I really supposed to do? And whoever strikes me on the one cheek, what am I really supposed to do? And if somebody wants to come and take my stuff, let me ask you a question. You've all heard the story that St. Mark was returned to Egypt, right? You've heard that. It's a rumor, right? What portion of St. Mark do you think was returned to Egypt? Let me tell you, in Venice, you will find the body of St. Mark. In Egypt, you will find maybe some wrist bones or ankle bones in a box that was given to them. The churches themselves do not practice this anymore. If you wanted to simply say, you know, as Egyptians, could we please have our obelisk back? You know, that obelisk that you took? Could we have it back, please? Well, you ain't getting that. You're not getting any of those things that are in the Vatican Library. You know? Now, for scholars, they'll say, thank God for the Vatican Library, because if it was left up to the Egyptians, you know what Egyptians used to do when they made the Myrun? They'd take old icons, the very old ancient icons, and they would burn them. And they take old manuscripts they couldn't read because they were all in Coptic. And you know, Coptic went out of fashion really soon. You have a holegi. Do you ever wonder why in your holegi it will, for you deacons, now this is just for the deacons, you women should be interested, but for the deacons especially. Do you know when it starts off pros of exhausti? Pros of exhausti, peritun agion, you know, blah, 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 right? And then it says, Tova hinen teafnuti nainan. Why does it start a pros of exhaustion and sometimes Tova? Because Tova came in later. Because when the prayers were formed, they were in Greek. And later when the Coptic church became an indigenous church, they turned to the Coptic language. So if you want to know what is a later addition to the prayers, the prayers that start off with Tova instead of Pros of Exhausti, right? Very clear. All right. But here's the deal. Today, we have, and we have the right to this, essentially, because God gave us free will. We have the right to define what each one of these things means. Maybe you saw the scandalized punching and fighting that went in over the area of the Holy Sepulchre some years ago on Easter, because one church was praying too long, and it was another church's turn to pray, and they wanted to get in there and pray, and they wouldn't stop praying when it was the other church. They were on somebody else's time, right? Oh, what happened? There was a fight. The holy monks were fighting the other holy monks. It was great. The monks became monkeys. And do you not think that at least for a moment that each one was certain that he was preserving the dignity of his church, the integrity of his church, preserving all of the things that he had given his life for? Well, this is the same thing that the disciples faced, was it not? When people would slander the name of Jesus Christ, oh yeah, punch right in the nose. You're not going to say that about my Lord. Look, I've had people who were members of a dojo, and they revered their teacher, their sensei. They wanted everyone to revere him. And you don't walk on the mat with your shoes. Oh my God, if you would, I mean, it's like if you walk on with your shoes in the sanctuary of our church, they deal with it the same way. And if you insult the dignity of your sensei, you are required to defend that dignity, because it's where you derive your dignity from. But the Lord is saying, don't even defend yourself when they slander me. Don't do that. Don't. No, as I said, each generation has the right to decide what that means. I mean, if we leave it up to the people that are Christian haters, and there's more and more and more of them in social media, you know, well, we must respond, mustn't we? At least somebody should respond. I'm not going to respond because, you know, my metropolitan may not like it, or may not like the tenor of my response, because I'm known as a certain type of person who, you know, flares up from time to time. It's not very nice to be in my company when that occurs. And, you know, if you start to say too much about something that's important to me, well, I'm going to reinterpret all of the scripture that I have just prayed. All right. Now, this is a little tongue-in-cheek, and I don't mean for you not to take what I'm saying seriously, but you have to think about it in your own life, because we are developing. I came into the religion very late in life, 30 years of age. I mean, I'd read about it. I took the Bible as literature and got straight A's, but there was nothing inside other than some kind of knowledge, that the same kind of knowledge that is as useful as, you know, organic chemistry. You don't use it anymore, unless you're a pharmacist or you're going in that area. But I mean, you just don't do it. It's just not a part of your thinking. It was kind of a hurdle. And I got through it, and I understood it. And I used to use some of the information that I had, you know, to tweak the ears of the people that claimed to be Christian. And I was pretty vicious. But I developed. And I am developing. And I'm not finished, I hope. I hope that I will continue to improve. I hope that I as I get older, some of the edges will round off. I hope that my knowledge is tempered more by love and by compassion and by understanding. There's a lot of things that I hope for myself. There's a lot of things that I have ambitions for. But it doesn't mean that if you catch me right now that this is all. In other words, I don't feel that as a piece of fruit I have completely ripened yet. I think I need a little bit more time on the vine before the Lord will pluck me. At least I'm hoping he gives me some more time, seeing as how I got a late start. But for each of you and for society generally, we have the right to make a decision about that. Now, the last thing that the Lord talked about was about judging. And I want to make something so very clear to all of you. You all have the ability to judge because you must discriminate. The Lord has even said in other places, do not eat with a person who is not really a brother. And what they're talking about, of course, is sharing the table of the Lord. They're not talking about a drumstick. So you are to be discriminating, right? But you don't make final judgments, because again, if you had seen Demas at a certain point in your life, you would be certain, this man is going to hell. And then you find out on the cross at the last minute, you this day will be with me in paradise. Oh, that's so counterintuitive. Why was he on the cross? Why did he look so horrible? Why? Because he had lived a horrible life. He was a miserable, rotten human being. Reasons aren't given why, but he was. But at the end, he came around. And that's when the Lord, like that piece of ripe fruit from the tree, he plucked him. He was ready now. Guessed wrong. If you're the Lord, come on down the cross. And us too. Don't forget us. Your cellmates. No, you're allowed to judge, but you don't make final judgments. And by the way, I want to make also a statement about outbursts. These, in law, they're called excited utterances. I mean, you know, everybody has these funny words for things like this. It's just somebody is out of their mind with passion about something, and so they just blurt out some stuff. And if it's a man, it's most likely profanity. And if it's a woman, it's usually attack at her husband's soul. It just, you know, like an arrow just straight through the body. Okay. The Lord doesn't judge these. He judges it when you are in full composure. And then if you are willing to say the same thing, then you are condemned or you are elevated in his eyes. It's how you are when you are normal. You know, somebody can say anything. We have been taught, especially in America, not to control our tongues. I saw something that was very interesting. You know, there's this little guy called Kobayashi. And on the 4th of July, I don't know if he's going to be there this year, but they have the Nathan's Hot Dog Festival. No, Nathaniel is your name. Don't look up when I say Nathan. This poor kid just doesn't know what his name is. But Nathan's Hot Dogs on the Coney Island Pier, they have an eating contest. And Joey Chestnut is the champion. And he's eaten, in 20 minutes, he's eaten like 70 hot dogs. Some amazing, with the buns, some amazing amount. And Kobayashi was always number two. But Kobayashi said one time how much he was hurt by Americans because they criticized him. Imagine this, the guy who gets the silver medal in the Olympics and everybody boos him. No. He didn't understand that this was just the way of America. It's called Homerism. I'm not talking about the Simpsons either, kids. Homerism means you root for the person who is the home team. Right? Remember that song? Root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out in the old ball game. Okay. You root for the home team. Now, if your home is L.A., you vote for L.A. But if L.A. is not in it, if it's some team from California, you vote for California. And if it's somebody that's representing the whole of the United States, then you root from that person where they came from, Tuscaloosa, Alabama. I mean, you don't care where they came from. Just, this is an American. This is the way we do it. In Japan, they don't. They respect their opponent. They give compliments to their opponent. I also watch Grand Sumo. By the way, the new July tournament starts today. It'll be on at 9:30 in the evening. And it's a 15-day tournament. And you see 300-pound plus guys smashing into each other at light speed. It's the most unbelievable thing. People don't realize it, but it's a ballet. It is so sensitive and depends on so much balance. And you see these guys in just a moment of time, 300 pounds. They look like they're just big, fat, overfed babies in a diaper. But you wouldn't want to say that to them personally, by the way. But the fact of the matter is that when they speak, like the guy that wins the tournament, and he's the, you know, the big kahuna at the moment, and he says, well, I tried to do my best, and I'm thankful for what I have done, and I had many good opponents, and it's so soft, and it's so nice, and it's so wonderful, and so compassionate, and we're not like that at all. Americans are not like that one single bit. It's like, I'm going to grind your head into the ground. I'm going to break your, you know, and we see this all the time, right? It's a completely different thing. So what I'm saying is that when there are utterances, something that would get you killed in one part of the world is perfectly acceptable in another part of the world. So how does the Lord judge? He judges by the society that gave you rise from your own cultural milieu. And so he's not going to take a look at that. But when you are calm and when you state, I hate those Christians, then, now you're in trouble. Now you're in real, real trouble. Okay? So remember, it's not the excited utterance. It is not just the ejaculative statement where it just shoots out of your mouth. It's not that. It's when you are fully possessed of your own self that going forward, you say what you say. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen.